There's a term that I learned shortly after getting into ministry. Saturday night special. What that means is, I didn't write my sermon until last night. I actually emailed Diane Friday and I said, just put the word message in there because I'm not really sure what God's going to have me speak on Sunday morning. Coming off of a very intense, thick spiritual experience at camp, and then being the OCD type personality that I am, not wanting to get off of the series, I thought, okay, what am I going to do? So, because I'm OCD, I have all of the scripture references and themes for the series for the entire summer already written out. So I went to see, okay, what is Sunday? And I started to read through my notes and started to think about camp, and I thought, thanks, God. This all fits together. Not only does it fit together, but it fits with what Brianna shared during the children's message, the songs that we've already sung, some of the things that we've heard through prayer time and things like this. And so God did it again. I'm not surprised. Thankful. So, for those of you that are new or visiting or just maybe you forgot, the series is Radical Discipleship. The word radical meaning fundamental, essential. So we're looking at those principles laid out by Jesus for his disciples. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. The two words are not separate. They are interchangeable. You can't be a Christian and not be a disciple, no matter what you've heard or no matter what anyone tells you. If you call yourself a Christian and yet are not participating in the discipleship process, then you are not a Christian. It is an unbiblical and untrue definition. And as Christians, we require community for growth. We require one another. Discipleship is about pursuing God together, not only with God, but with other believers who can encourage us, who can challenge us, who can teach us, who can love us, and then who can release us into the kingdom to continue the process, to start the cycle over with others. The purpose of discipleship is to grow closer to that image in which we were created. We were created in God's image, but we were also created very good, right? After God created man and woman, he said, it's not just good, it's very good. That's awesome. And so that's what we're chasing with discipleship. We're trying to find that redeemed, very good state that we once had with God. To do that, we have to get a better grasp on what that image was like. What was man and woman like when they were first created? What's the target? What's the goal? How can I tell if I'm finding success in the discipleship process? And we talk a lot here about becoming the people God created us to be. It's one of my favorite things to say. Just be who God created you to be. But how do you know what that is? Who are we created to be? I think Genesis 1 and 2 is a really good place to start. Because I think it answers that question. Who are we? Who are we? The entire first chapter of Genesis flows towards our creation. If there was a soundtrack to the creation story, when man and woman were created, that would be the climax of the music. It would just get really loud, and you know, if you're a heavy metal person, this is where the guitars and the drums would really kick in. The pinnacle of creation is you and me. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, over the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." The peak of God's creation, the climax. In Genesis 1, the structure of the first 6 days of creation reaches its pinnacle with man and woman. The first evidence of mankind's unique place in creation centers around the word create. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word used here for create is only used and attributed to God. If it, later on in the Old Testament, when man makes things, when he builds things, when he creates things, this word isn't used. It's another word. Because only God can create something from nothing. Only God can speak and have there be something when there was nothing there. In the beginning, nothing existed until God called it into being. God created the great creatures of the sea, every winged bird, the livestock, the beasts of the land. But when he creates humans, he uses the word three times. What's significant about the number three? It's the number of completion. It's the number of completion. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. His creation was now complete. It was whole. It's also important to note the benediction pattern of creation. On the third day, God starts to pronounce a benediction at the end of each day. Verse 10, 12, 18, and 25 all end the same way. And God saw that it was good. This simply shows that God was pleased with his work. I like that. That turned out just like I wanted it to. That's good. But the peak of creation had not yet been reached. And after God creates mankind, the benediction changes. After God finished all the work, he saw all that he made, and it was very good. Things weren't only how they were planned to be now, but now he found pleasure, delight. Now he finally created something that would feel his pleasure and give him pleasure in return, something that he could have a relationship with. So it was very good. And then there's the creation formula, another point of interest in our story. Starting in verse 3, the creation formula is pretty simple. God says, let there be, and there is. Let there be this, poof. Let there be that, poof. But then the creation of humans comes along, and he changes the recipe. He changes the recipe. He doesn't just say, let there be people. He says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So we aren't just some simple creatures that God speaks into existence. We're not just another let there be. We're divine image bearers. We're qualitatively different from the animal world and the rest of creation because we bear the stamp of God. We bear the stamp of God. His handprint is on us. It's like the difference between something I create from my imagination, like a sermon or an article, and something that I put a piece of myself into, like Siler or Chasley or Elena or Cece. See, I take delight when I write something good. When I write something and people say, man, that's good, that delights me. But when I look at my kids and I see them growing, and I grow deeper in love with them every day, I find true pleasure. And I think that that's probably the difference between good and very good in God's creation story. It was good. Man, that I like that. That's good. Man, that tree's nice. Look at that buffalo. That's awesome. But then he creates man in his image, and he says, wow, that's very good. He created something he could truly delight in. The words image and likeness in verses 26 and 27 indicate that there's something in us, in you and in me, that resembles our Creator. God leaves a distinct imprint upon us. This is the target that discipleship aims at. Regaining an awareness of that imprint, and then chasing it, seeking after it. When we submit ourselves to God's will, Jesus' example, the Holy Spirit's guidance, and God's leading, this is what we seek. This is discipleship. This is the target. So what's it look like? What's it look like? Well, first, in verse 26, we read, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." This reveals the first clue. God is plural. God is fellowship. God is community. God is using plural pronouns for himself. The one God speaks of himself as plural. This is an indirect reference to our New Testament understanding that the one God is revealed in three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. From eternity to eternity, that's the best way I can say it because eternity has no beginning and it has no end. From eternity to eternity, God was in fellowship. Before creating, the only reality was the plurality of God. Before he spoke the universe into existence, it was just God. But that was enough. He found fellowship with himself. He had community with himself. He was perfect. He was complete. This is supported by the New Testament revelation that the Father and Son have an eternal relationship. Jesus and his Father didn't start the relationship when Jesus was born. It just always was. And in John 17, Jesus supports this by saying, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." God is community. God is fellowship. This is important for us to note because it reveals that God did not create us in order to complete something that was lacking. He didn't make us because he was missing something. That's not why we're here. He created us out of the fullness and overflow of his love. The fullness and overflow of his love. In Acts 17, Paul tells us that God is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. So it wasn't out of a need or out of a desire, but simply out of the abundance of his love that God wanted us to be drawn into relationship with him. God's love was so great, so abundant, so overpowering that he had to enlarge the circle and let us in. It just flowed out of him. It was too great and he needed more things to love. Again, I think it's easier to understand this desire of God to draw us in when we put it in terms of a husband and wife. Often newlyweds aren't really interested in having children, are they? Man, we're just going to conquer the world. We don't need no kids. But day after day after day, their love grows. Their love grows. And pretty soon they want to share that love with someone else. If that weren't true, none of us would be here. Raise your hand if you don't have parents. The longing to expand the circle of love you share with one another so that others can experience it grows. We long to share our love with each other because we're created in God's image. That's why we were created. Because he had so much love. The mystic Meister Eckhart writes that creation is simply the overflow of the laughter of the Holy Spirit. They were having so much fun. They were enjoying each other so much that creation just happened. It's a pretty neat thought. So just as a child born of the love between a man and a woman reflects the parent's image, we reflect the image of God planted in us. And that's the first clue to what it means to be created in God's image. Just as God is a being in fellowship, we too are made for relationships. We're made for each other. I'm made for you. You're made for me. Through love, we grow deeper into relationship with one another. And just as the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit grew and led to creation, our love grows. And our desire to expand the circle and bring others in grows. which supports the second clue. He made us male and female. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. This is something that we could easily pass over. Duh. You need a man and a woman to make more people. But if we did that and just simply excused it like that, we would miss something very vital here. Mankind was created male and female, further indicating that we were absolutely made for relationships. We were absolutely made for relationships. We mirror God in our ability and need to be in person-to-person relationships with one another. We mirror God in our ability to have person-to-person relationships with one another. Before Eve was created, Adam is simply Adam. But after Eve, the word for man changes. Have you ever noticed that? It's not until after Eve that the word for man changes. The man, Adam, said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, Isha. For she was taken out of man, Ish." Man didn't become male until there was a female. You ever think about that? Man didn't become male until there was a female. Man was incomplete until female came along. And female is incomplete without male. By creating humankind, male and female, God created us in his image. We mirror his plurality. God is community. And so we are community. We were created for love relationships. Vertical love with God and horizontal love with each other. The significance of these love relationships is that we were made to be loved by God first. Genesis 2:2 notes that by the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all of his work. You think God needed a breather? You think he was tired? You think he was winded? Man, that was hard work. Time for a vacation. God rested so he could enjoy what he created, so that he could take delight in what he made, so that he could have community with man and woman. We were made to be enjoyed. We were made to give rest and receive rest. St. Augustine sums it up like this: "Our hearts are restless until we find rest in thee. Our hearts are restless until we find rest in thee." Another significant point is that our success in life is measured not in our money, not in our position or our possessions, but in how well we love. That's how our success as disciples of Jesus Christ is measured. How well do we love? It's measured in relationships. If our primary relationships are in disarray, does anything else really matter? If I've got a big house and a fast car, but my marriage is falling apart and I don't have a good relationship with my children, do I really care about that big house or big car? If our primary relationships are in disarray, nothing else matters, because that's what we were created for. That's our purpose. We were made as a result of love and for the purpose of love. The motive becomes the purpose. To be like God is to put our priority and energy into loving God and loving people. That's it. That's the goal. That's the target. Secret revealed. The goal of discipleship is to love God and love people better. It really is that simple. And if you don't believe me, let me give you some proof. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." Love God and love people. You want more proof? For we now in part, and we prophesy in part. Or we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul says, I was a spiritual kid. I was a baby. But the more I began to understand it, the more I realized that it's about love. It's about relationships. If we lack in love, we're not living the life of discipleship. It doesn't matter how many Bible verses you know. It doesn't matter that if you have perfect attendance at church. It doesn't matter how many Christian books you've read or how many worship albums you own. If you lack in love, you're not doing it right. So how does this go with the theme of camp this week? Well, as I participated as a counselor for the first time in many years, I realized that that's what it's about. Playing with those kids, wrestling with them in the cabin, joking with them, laughing with them, going on bike rides, sitting next to them and wrapping your arm around them when you see that they're struggling with something. It's about relationships. It's about loving them. Some of those kids don't get loved on, except for that 1 week a year. And to see the change that those handful of days make in their life makes me wonder what kind of impact we could have on this world for Jesus if we did that stuff every day. If we stopped worrying about ourselves so much and started to be concerned with others around us. That's what we were created for. Created in God's image, in God's likeness. We're incomplete without each other. That doesn't just do something special for the person that you're loving. It does something special for you. It fulfills that need and that desire that is innate within us. To love, to have a relationship, to fulfill a purpose, to fulfill the purpose. Our journey in faith is one of love. That's the journey. To love better. The more we grow in our love of God, the more we grow in our love of people. It's cyclical. Because when we love God, we love the things God loves. And God loves people. Not select people. Not people that smell good. Not smart people. Not good-looking people. Just people. Without preconceived notion, without prejudice, God loves people, and he calls us to love people. This is the path of discipleship. This is who we were created to be. This is the goal, and this is the target. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you created us in your image. It's humbling to know that you didn't need us. It's humbling to know that you weren't creating us to complete something that was incomplete, but that you simply created us to love, to feel your pleasure, to give you pleasure. Father, I pray that that realization would sink in today. That we would take time to think and meditate on that truth. That the single purpose that we were created for is to love you and love people. That our success in this life is measured in our ability to love. And Lord, I pray that if we need to be broken with that reality, that you would break us. That if we need to be affirmed within that reality, that you would affirm us. That if we need strength to fulfill that reality, that you would strengthen us. If we need to be humbled, Lord, that you would humble us. And that all of these things would bring you glory. That all of these things would expand your kingdom. That they would bear much fruit for you. And that they would lead others into the realization that you created them simply to love them. And so we thank you and praise you forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.